Blog Talk Radio.
So this is a great old song, Jesus Saves Me.
That's what our Jesus does. He saves. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. It's Monday, May the 1st. And we're in studio today to begin a new series entitled Full Blown Revival in Samaria. Full Blown Revival. We left off last week talking about the Samaritan woman and her encounter with Jesus and how Jesus purposely went to Samaria to meet her need. He said, I must need go to Samaria to do what? To meet that woman's spiritual needs. We're looking at John chapter 4, verse 25 through 30. John chapter 4, verse 25, and it reads, the woman, referring to the woman of Samaria, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak with you am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he was talking with a woman. Yet no man said to him, no one questioned him, what seekest thou, or why do you talk to her? Then the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said unto the men of Samaria, come, see a man which told me all things which I ever did. Is not this the Christ? She asked. Then the men whom she spoke with came out of the city and came to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, dear God, we come to you today because you save. Salvation, as you said to the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of God. Salvation is of Christ. Indeed, Jesus saves. Let us hear the glorious sound. Let it ring throughout the earth. Let everyone know, including the devil and his minions, that it is Jesus who saves. Jesus saves. Father, we pray that as we continue to seek you for revival in St. Johnsville, we pray that you would grant us a visitation from Christ. As Christ visited Samaria and brought about a full-blown revival in that city, we pray that Christ will sense the need, feel the need to make his way to St. Johnsville the same way he made his way to Samaria, the same way he made his way to the road of Damascus, that he would touch one. And we know that when he touches one, he will touch the rest. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. The woman says, we know that the Christ, the Messiah, is on his way. Jesus says, well, I have good news for you. He's here, and I am he. And while they were talking, while it dawned on her that she was speaking to Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the disciples came, and look at verse 28. As the disciples were coming, she was leaving. It says, the woman then left her water pot. She came for water, and she left with water. But remember, she was coming to retrieve water out of the well, natural water out of the well, and she was leaving with living water flowing in her. She was leaving with water, but it was the waters of salvation. She left the water pot because she became the water pot. She became the vessel in whom the waters of revival were contained. She became the spiritual water pot. Then she takes that water that she has, that living water, that vibrant water. She takes that water. She acts as a conduit. She acts as a pipe, if you will, you know, when you pipe in water. She goes into the city of Samaria proper, into Sychar. And she says, I want you to see the man who told me all things I ever did. Boy, he had me pegged. He had me figured out. He told me my life from A to Z. Is that not the Christ? Only God, she says, only God incarnate, only the Messiah, only the anointed one could do such a thing. Then the Bible says, then the men hearing the news, they went out to fetch water for themselves. They ran to Jesus. It says in verse number 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. My brothers and sisters, we will have full-blown revival in St. Johnsville when one, Jesus, shows up. We're not going to have revival when the fancy preacher shows up, when the famed preacher shows up, when the gifted preacher shows up. No, we will have revival when Jesus shows up. The same way he showed up when he came to Samaria, he will come to St. Johnsville. And when that happens, and he touches one person, all it takes, listen to me, saints, Revival begins when Jesus shows up. That's key. He's got to show up. That's why another term for revival, if you study all the histories of revival, in every period, not only do they refer to a move of God as a revival, but also a synonym for revival is a visitation of God. Which God are we talking about? We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But it is the second person of the Trinity who makes himself real in the hearts and in the minds of sinners. Jesus has got to show up if we're going to have a revival. I remember as a little boy in the Pentecostal church, every year we would have revival seasons. And every year my pastor would book a revivalist, a preacher. And that preacher would come in for a month, and it would be advertised, and it would be promoted, and we would have a revival that whole month. Every night for 30 days, we were at church. We would have these revival services. They would be long. They would be evangelistic. The preacher would make the appeal. And, of course, the goal was to win souls for Christ. But that's not a revival. That's really an evangelistic crusade called the revival, improperly defined, improperly labeled. When a preacher shows up for 30 days and preaches for 30 days nonstop, that is an evangelistic crusade. Now, when Jesus shows up in power and in demonstration, that is a revival. That's a revival. Now, let's go to John. Let's go to the next chapter. Let's go to John chapter 5, because I want to show you how Jesus defines salvation. Jesus comes to the woman. He comes to the woman at the well, and he touches her heart. Go to John chapter 5. Verse 24 and 25. Look what Jesus says. And he speaks about two kinds of quickenings. Two kinds. Now, in John 5, 24 and 25, he speaks about a spiritual quickening, which is what the woman of Samaria experienced. It reads like this: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now look at verse 25. That's the key verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. Notice what he says. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's talking about the spiritually dead. The woman at the well, when she first meets Jesus, she is physically alive, but she's spiritually dead. After her conversing with Jesus, he quickens her spirit. She hears the voice of the Son of God, and she is made alive. Again, look at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, the spiritually dead, that is, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall live. A little further down, he talks about a future quickening. He talks about a different kind of resurrection. He's talking about second coming resurrection. There's a spiritual resurrection of the soul, and there's a physical resurrection of the body. In verse 28 and 29, he talks about the physical resurrection of the body, which is yet 2,000 years future. So look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which, now notice he doesn't say the hour is coming and now is, no. The hour is coming, but it's 2,000 years away. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's a resurrection that will happen 2,000 years into the future. That's the resurrection of the dead, the physically dead. But in verse 24 and 25, he's talking about a spiritual resurrection. The woman at the well was spiritually dead. She heard the voice of Jesus, and she was quickened. Again, let's read verse 25 of chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. It's happening today. It's Jesus saying it's happening this moment as I speak. And now is, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear him shall come to life. That's when you become born again. Now, go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2. And this is how Paul puts it. This is how Paul puts what Jesus said in John 5. This is how Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, we were like the Samaritan woman. We were living in sin when we met up with Jesus. We were no better than she was. For all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our lifestyle in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as many others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are, what? Saved. We've been quickened. My dear brothers and sisters, that's revival. One, winning one soul at a time. So notice, listen to this. Full-blown revival comes. Not when the evangelist comes, not when the revivalist comes. Revival comes when Christ shows up. And he has the power to speak like he did to that Samaritan woman, and he quickened her soul. She dropped her water pot. Something came alive in her, and she ran to tell others. Jesus had arrived. And this is why the men of the city, when they heard that the Messiah had arrived, they had to go see for themselves. They had to go find out for themselves. They wanted to receive from him what the woman received from him, which was life. She was changed. She was utterly changed. Remember, prior to this encounter with Jesus, the woman was what? A social pariah, persona non grata. No one spoke to her. She was a woman of ill repute. She was social trash. But something was quickened in her that changed her, that when she came to these men, she carried with her that living water. And now those men who thirst for life are now running to get some from Jesus. So, full-blown revival happens when one Jesus shows up, touches one person. All it takes for revival to begin is for Jesus to touch one. Look at what happened on the road to Damascus. Jesus touched Saul of Tarsus. He touched one. And after he touched Saul of Tarsus, who came in? The entire Gentile world. That's all it takes. All it takes is for Jesus to supernaturally show up and change one heart. That's what we're praying for. And once Jesus touches one, that one is so impacted, so changed, so quickened, they can't stop telling the world about Jesus. So, let's pray. Let's pray that indeed, Jesus will come to St. Johnsville. My brothers and sisters, I thank God. I thank the Lord that he has brought me to St. Johnsville. I thank God that he has made me, ordained me to be the pastor of Grace Church. But I don't bring revival with me. I don't bring quickening with me. I bring a gospel that points you to the quickener. I bring a message that causes you to turn to Jesus. He's the source of all life. The hour is, and the hour has come and now is, that those that will hear the voice of the Son of Man shall live. Not the voice of the preacher. Not the voice of Brother Torres. They must hear, according to John 5:25, they must hear the voice of the Son of Man. They must hear the voice of the Messiah, the Christ. And if they do, they shall come to life. So let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're praying for revival. We're praying that you would quicken people. Quicken them. Give them life. Resurrect them spiritually, for they're dead in trespasses and sins. We're praying for a quickening, praying for revival. But if that's going to happen, there has to be a visitation of God. And you are God. Oh, Jesus, pay us a visit. We pray in your wonderful name. I want to play this last hymn. It's entitled, Rescue the Perishing. I'll be back tomorrow with part two. God bless you.
Waiting the penitent child.